Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Puckle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Puckle Podcast. This is episode number 611. Puckle stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name our great creator Thatch came up with back in 2007. I'm your host for today, Claude9, here with my spectacular, fun, excited, awake as always in the morning co-hosts, starting off with the fluffiest of all the Whimsicott's.
Hello, hello, awake in the afternoon.
And the sharkiest of all the Finnegans.
Hello.
So welcome, thank you guys for joining me today. Thatch and Shamu are currently at Pittsburgh Regionals. Competing, so we wish them the best of luck. I know at the time of recording, I think Shamu is 1-0 and Thatch is 0-1, but you know, that's one round in, plenty more Pokemon to be played.
Oh, yep. Yes.
But anyways, tell me what you guys have been up to with Pokemon over the past week, 2 weeks, you know, everything.
I have been trying to convince my friend that they need the shiny charm in their Scarlet and Violet game because I just keep running into shinies just walking around. It's crazy. I just...
I think I'm two Pokemon off from it. I never traded anyone for a Slowking, I think, or a Scizor. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to wait.
I'll get you one, because seriously, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's even without the shiny charm, it's still pretty good. But it's just like the shiny charm just makes it that much better.
Yeah.
I definitely need to do it before, you know, the teal mask drops, which we'll talk about later.
Yes. But yeah, it's like, what are you doing? I'm shiny hunting, and shiny hunting means I'm just walking across the map.
And hoping to get something.
Hoping is like, the days that I do that, it feels like I get something more often than not, which is really ridiculous. Like, come on. I know it's like... The odds seem to work differently because you're actually seeing them and you don't have to encounter them, but it still seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah. All right, Shark, what have you been up to?
I've been doing kind of two different things. One, I've mentioned before, I've been doing a draft league on Wi-Fi for the first time, and I actually won that league off the back of Roaring Moon.
Yeah!
Wow!
It was a Uber's one, and just, like, I was able to just get in Roaring Moon. Actually, because it was Wi-Fi, I was, like, right, like, once I got to finals, I'm like, all right, I know this Roaring Moon's been carrying me this season. Let me go actually shiny hunt one. So I did shiny hunt it, catch
nice.
It, and made it, and did everything for it, and
that's
it
awesome.
Ended up 6-0-ing.
Yes!
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, no, off Kudos. That one shiny one, I was like, yep. I was like, my opponent got... They're like had a Garchomp, they spam Draco Meteor on, which I'm like, that was a smart bring, but like it got to minus six and I'm like, all right, Roaring Moon, it's time. Set up button and win.
Nice.
That's great. Congratulations. Yeah,
and then on the side I was trying to do a harder Nuzlocke, because I know this game feels like it could do kind of easy, so I'm like, let me try a little hard one here. So I did I basically, like, did the raid ones where it's just, like, one raid mon per area.
Oh.
And I did it with level cap and, like, no items. Just, like, no healing items during battle, just to try that out. That was a mistake. I had two shinies in that attempt to help, but that didn't matter because I still just got, because it's just like the mons just didn't quite line up and I just didn't have like the TMs or TRs to like help get anything. It's just both gym battles just like decimated me in the early game.
No. I understand. Let's say on Monday, I finished up or tried to finish up my GS Chronicles Nuzlocke on Twitch. And we got all the way to like the second to last fight. And then the Crobat used double team. And I missed my next seven moves.
Oh,
which then
no.
cost me like three mons, which I needed for the final fight. And we just couldn't pull it out. And it was...
No.
I'm like, out of all the things to lose, to, I'm like, I have to lose to RNG. And I'm like, part of me is like, all right, now do I want to go back and redo this so I can say I beat it or not? So we'll see what I end up deciding to do. But I understand that pain. Nuzlocking is a different type of game where you have to be much more strategic and about everything.
Yeah, it's like my freaking, like... I thought I was good having a Dunsparce Terra Fire for the grass gym, but it just didn't know any moves.
Yep.
No good moves on Dunsparce that early, and I'm just like, no. No, it can't even learn Swift.
Oh.
Like, not even good stab. I was like, roll out or mud slap, and I'm just like,
ooh, that's not the right choice then.
That was what I was, that's the cards I was dealt.
Yeah.
But still, I got two shinies out of it, so...
That's still good.
There you go.
A shiny Lechonk and a shiny Scatterbug.
Ooh, I love both of those.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then I will catch you guys on over with the news.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news segment. All right, we have a bunch of news coming out. As most of you are probably aware, the Scarlet and Violet DLC, the Teal Mask, drops this week. The times for that, let me pull that up. It goes live at 10 a.m. JST, or Japan Standard Time, on September 13th, which means we get a global release of it throughout the world at a different time. For those of us on the East Coast, it is, or those of you on the East Coast, it is September 12th at 9 p.m. Central is 8, Pacific is 6 p.m. on the 12th. And for those of you across the pond, it is 2 a.m. BST, 3 a.m. CEST, and I can go through the rest, but we're not getting a release at midnight for everybody. It's 10 a.m. in Japan is when it comes out. So, mark your calendars, prepare your time off, do whatever you need to do. The game's afoot. But anything with that, besides that, we have ahead of the Hatsune Miku Project Voltage release on the 29th, the art of Miku in the style of different trainers has come out. So for Psychic, we have a Meloetta. Grass, we have a Rillaboom. Fire, there's a Skeledirge. Water is Primarina. Electric is a Rotom.
Yeah, we're still waiting on I think there's supposed to be one dropping today. I haven't quite seen it yet, but it's like really, really nice art. It's actually made
really,
by
really cool.
actual Pokemon illustrators. Mm-hmm. I think like the first set of them was done by the designer of Mimikyu.
Mm, so. Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for those of you that were excited as I am, the Final Journeys episodes have been released on Netflix. So... get ready to watch as it's going to be set.
It's all the good nostalgia bits.
Yep. So.
Wow.
I think it's going to conclude the world tournament, right? I'm pretty sure.
No, it's the whole, that one's already up there. This is the final stuff. This is like the return of the, seeing Butterfree again. This is.
Oh gosh. I didn't realize they finished the Journeys episodes in English on Netflix.
Yeah, that's it. This is it. This is the end of Ash.
So this is the end of Ash on Netflix. Gosh, I have a lot to catch up on. Ugh, that's going to be exciting to watch. Okay. Yeah. Then I'll pass it off to y'all.
Yeah, speaking of animated episodes, the very first episode of Paldean Winds has aired on YouTube. And based on that episode, you can get the ferocious Titan that appears in the show with the code LIKEAFLUTE As usual, the I in like is actually a one. And there is no rush for this. Like, the code is going to stay valid for something like a year. But so yeah. If you want this item from the episode, just enter that code in the mystery gift. And then, in other news for Scarlet and Violet, Regulation E has been updated to last through the end of the year, which matches the supposed release date of the second part of the DLC in December. So we'll see about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have basically from October through December will be the months you'll be using the DLC 1 month. So we'll see how that shakes up in the next few weeks here.
That does make me think, though, that the December DLC is not going to fall at their normal time slot, which is usually like the week before Thanksgiving, but might be like December, like the week before Christmas almost.
I've been like obsessing over this because technically it's not winter until December the 21st.
I know, but it's that's the winter supposed to be fall. Yeah. This is a fall release. This is fall.
Exactly.
And
so
it's September 13th. So
when they no. Okay, so the first one was supposed to be in like the summer or the fall. I don't remember anymore. The second one specifically stated winter 2023, which is like
it's still technically like, summer until the 21st of September.
I thought it was exactly. fall, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's not fall until the 21st. Autumn.
Equinox solstice? Yeah,
no, it's an equinox in autumn, yes.
Yeah.
Autumnal. Yeah, so I don't know. It's probably, like, not supposed to be that literal, but still.
Yeah, that I think it's funny. Probably more like the business fiscal year, but
granted, I can also just... I can also just picture them being like, all right, you know what? We're going to drop it like 2 days before Christmas so those people that get the game can automatically play it on Christmas with the DLC. Yeah.
That would be cool. That's my birthday.
Yeah. That'd be a good time.
Yeah.
Good way to celebrate for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. There are a lot of Pokemon that I'm looking forward to in the Indigo Disc, like, say, Whimsicott. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that one. I think that one's DLC 2 confirmed.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so. That'll be a good time. But yeah,
yep.
And other things going on in Pokemon Go. Grubbin will be the community day for this month, and that'll be on September 23rd. September 17th, there'll be a special Oddish Research Day.
Ooh,
so it'll be fun. You can get yourself some good Oddishes for Blossom and Vileplume.
Am I going to have to re-download Pokemon Go just to get this Oddish?
Do you have a shiny Oddish?
Not in Pokemon Go.
there you go. Then maybe. And then in the TCG, an Oddish promo will release soon based off of the one played in the Path to the Peak series. We don't know how it'll be distributed yet, but expect that further news coming soon on that
one. I want it. I want it so bad. It's one of those things where it's like it's gonna be in like a blister pack bundle or something silly like that, and I'm gonna be like, I have to go buy like 5 of these now.
Yeah, I hope they give you like at least a pin with it or something if they make a package like that.
We will see what happens.
Yep. And then the Pokemon Card Dex app will be sunset on September 20th.
Yeah.
I know that's just an app that I think it looks like just generally just kind of just a quick look up of what the Pokemon cards are available, but yeah, still sad whenever apps die.
Mm-mm.
Yep. And be sure to check out the YouTube channel this week, R Sigma's Pokemon Stadium 1 Rental Randomizer series has been going along with some of the replays we get from the stream. I didn't realize my stuff had gone up there already, so now I really have to complete my game, even though I have to basically restart. Attempt 3, though. We'll be fine. We'll just have to figure out another strategy and just not lose to Hex. As far as the Puckle's Pokey prediction, do you think events like the Mewtwo raid will be used as this generation distribution method for older legends rather than the Dynamax adventures or the Ultra Space that we've had in the past?
I sure as heck hope not, because that's pretty much impossible to do alone, and not everyone has a Nintendo Online subscription.
That, honestly, is probably that's about right. Yeah. I think it's good to have certain events. I'm fine with it being, like, getting the Pokemon with the raid marker or, like, mm-hmm. with the special thing. That's fine. I definitely don't think it's going to be the permanent long-term solution just because that, yeah, we need to make it accessible for longer stints of time.
So
and people still shiny hunt it, so...
Yes. So I want to talk about my thoughts on this, but that's going to bleed into the topic a little bit. But because I think like Dynamax Adventures came in the DLC for, you know, Sword and Shield. So I'm hoping mm-hmm. there's going to be another mini game type thing that comes in the future DLCs. Maybe mm-hmm. not the Teal Mask, maybe the Indigo Disc that.
Yes. The Indigo Disc looks like the sort of DLC that wants to give you stuff to do for a long time.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
I would be hopeful mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah.
All right. Then with that, we will head on over to our Puckle Pokey Quiz to quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Thank you, Mr. Quizmaster, for those rules. All right, are you guys ready for your first Puckle Pokey question?
As ready as I can be, I guess.
All right. This one comes from Umbreon1080. Which game mascot is the only one whose signature move is a status move?
Nice.
That's an interesting question.
I think game mascot is like box cover box, legendary or yeah. whatever the box cover Pokemon is usually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I know the answer to this one.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very, very powerful fairy type Pokemon with a very, very powerful fairy type status move.
Yes. Because Geomancy.
Yeah, Geomancy, Xerneas.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct! You guys got 1 point.
Nice.
All right.
There we go.
Gosh. Okay. All right, I'll pick this one for question 2. This one comes from Swario. Let's go Swario. Starting in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, this Pokemon is programmed to be able to be taught Fire Pledge. However, the move tutor only ever offered to teach it Grass Pledge, making Fire Pledge and Water Pledge unable to be learned legitimately. Who's that Pokemon?
Oh, yep. That should be Silvally, because I know that it's the reason why it's supposed to is because it's kind of like it's treated like a starter, and you can have the certain drives on it to be able to learn those moves. But mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I don't think, it does not know Water and Fire Pledge. It only knows Grass for some reason.
Is that your final answer?
Yep.
And Silvally is correct. That's 2 points.
Wow, that's amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird one. I know. It's
Yeah. All right. Next up is your Pokédex question. This one comes from Theomon. It's Pokemon White Entry Reads. When endangered, it may protect itself by raising its magnetism and drawing iron objects to its body. Who's that Pokemon?
Ooh.
Hmm.
So.
It's probably a steel type.
Yeah.
Like,
hmm.
Is it the obvious or is it someone else?
I have to admit, I am not very familiar with the Pokedex entries for the Magneton line. So, I feel like they might lean more into the fact that the magnemites join together, and then magnetism requires a specific place to evolve.
I would think so, too. I'm just trying to think of what other good Pokemon.
Something else that uses magnetism. Like some steel types that have magnetrize, maybe.
And that would be like the Kling Klang line, Klefki.
Ooh, I like the Kling Klang line because it can't be Klefki because it's a Pokemon White entry, right?
Oh, right. You said Pokemon. Wait, you said Pokemon White.
I said Pokemon White.
Oh, that actually helps a lot. Then I'm definitely leaning towards.
No. I like the Klink line. Yeah.
Let's
throw one out there.
Klink. Shot in the dark. Klink.
Mm-hmm.
Klink is incorrect, but now I have to just double check that I gave you the right Pokedex entry, and this may have just been off. Now, give me 1 second to verify that this Pokedex is actually correct, and I didn't tell you the wrong one. That's what it says for White, and no, it's not Klink. All right.
Okay.
Your hint is it's Pokemon Soul Silver entry reads, if two of these meet, they can't get too close because their noses repel each other.
Oh.
Yeah. It's Nosepass or Probopass.
Yep. Nosepass is probably it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Probopass because it's a steel type, but Nosepass is also magnetic. So.
Yeah. Let's say Nosepass because then it gathers the iron and then it becomes Probopass.
Nice. So I like that.
It's one of the two. It's more for pride, which the 50-50.
Yeah.
So I think we're confident we got the line right.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. It is Nosepass. That is correct.
Nice.
All right. Up next is your multiple choice question. Now I have to ask, do you want the tough one or the not tough one?
I mean, Shark's on a roll. You can challenge us, I guess. What do you think, Shark?
Okay.
Sure.
This guy has chosen the tougher one. This one comes from the Once and Future Gamer. Across six regions, there are six different places where the ice rock, to get Glaceon, can be found. What are those locations?
Okay, wait. So across all games?
Across six different regions.
Across six different regions, where are the icy rocks?
Because I don't think there is. Yes. Yep.
Let's start with Sword and Shield. That one is going to be. I think it's technically Route 10.
Route 10. Yeah.
Hold on. Eevee was in the base game. Yeah, no, it has to be Route 10.
Are you sure?
Because it wasn't. Because I don't.
Wait,
think
though, because.
It's either in Route 10 or it's in the wild area on. No, that's where you just get the rocks. There's not an icy rock there. So, yeah. I was thinking where you can get some of the Eeveelutions on the one. There's like one spot where there's like you can get a bunch of the evolution stones. But no, I think it's just Route 10.
But...
Oh, wait. Actually, hold on. You're right.
Isn't, like,
So I will give you a hint that in the last... In, I think, Gen 7 and Gen 8... Sorry, Gen 8 and Gen 9...
Gen 8 and Gen 9, you can evolve it with a rock. Yeah.
Yes, with the ice stone. Instead of the icy stone. Rock.
So it wouldn't be in Sword and Shield.
Yep.
Okay, so,
I think before Sword and Shield, there are six regions where you can find it.
Oh, okay. Exactly. Okay, in that
or
case...
Or six areas, I should say.
What is, in X and Y, the cave where you... That's guarded, like, by an Obama snow?
Mm-hmm.
What's that place's name?
What is it called?
I'm bad with because of I'm course ba- I like, much...
I'll give you the point for it because you
because yeah
you,
it's where Obama it. Snow is where that yes. whole side yeah. quest is that
I'll,
I can
I'll
at least
you can
tell you that
the spots. Yeah that too. Is the Frost Cavern in Kalos. That's one
okay
for every one point every two you'll get a point.
Okay. So another one
Sorry, I was just writing down what we've got so far. So we've got okay. X and Y.
So I think Black and White, it might be somewhere around the Great Chasm.
That sounds right, because it wasn't, because you couldn't get to it in the, or like, Eevee wasn't in the base Black and White. It was only in
the... Exactly, it was in Black and White 2.
And even if you got it in the late, the post-game of Black and White, it would have, Great Chasm fits twice as much, because it's something you can only access post-game.
Right. But Eevee you can get in Black and White 2... Before, yes. Like, the second gym.
Exactly.
Yep. And you can access
and
the chasm
stone for,
post.
And the okay. stone for Leafeon is accessible really early on, actually. So it would make sense that they'd let you, like, access it before the post-game.
Yeah. Great Chasm for Black and White.
All right, that is incorrect.
Okay.
I will just... We'll cancel out Unova.
Mm-hmm.
The Nova answer was Twist Mountain.
Oh, in the winter. Okay. Oh wait, I was just about to actually say that. I was just like, if it wasn't Great Chasm, it had to be there.
Yeah.
I'm just about to cancel
out the Unova one. So you still have Hoenn, Sinnoh, Alola, and Hisui. I'll give you the regions that you're missing.
Hisui, it has to be Glaciendo Mountain.
Are you sure?
The main ice area. It has to be within, at least somewhere within the proximity of that.
I don't remember seeing it.
My notes are telling me it's not the mountain, it's the Ice Peak Cavern, which may be on the mountain, but...
We'll have to take a look into that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's got to be somewhere along that mountain, like in that mountain region, which that's pretty specific.
Okay, well,
Diamond, Pearl, Platinum, or Sinnoh, that's on the route just outside of Snowpeak.
Yep, that's correct, you got mm-hmm. that one.
And
you're missing Hoenn and Alola.
So in Alola,
that would be on the. Actually, what is the name?
Yeah.
Mount. Is it
Lanakila?
I think so.
Mount Lanakila is the one with the observatory.
Or is that one? Oh.
But that is correct. Mount Lanakila is correct.
Oh, it was okay. that one. Okay, good. Good.
It's the same mountain. You just climb a different side when you go up to the icy area. Okay.
Yep. And all you're missing is Hoenn.
That one.
This is not base Hoenn. This is like Oras.
Yeah, Oras, of course.
Yeah,
Because you didn't need one in.
It's like there's snow in Hoenn.
Exactly.
There is a single spot.
Yes. And I think
my gut says it's the Shoal Cave
mm-hmm.
where you can get Sphiels.
That is correct. Yes.
Oh.
Nice.
Okay, so. You said it was on the mountain. I checked for Hisui. It's not on the mountain. You know how in the Alabaster Icelands, there are all those caves that go underneath the ground?
Oh, wait a second. You said Hisui. Oh, I'm dumb. I was thinking... I somehow combined Hisui is
and,
Gen 9. That's my mistake.
Yep. So mm-hmm. with that, you guys get... You got four? Let's see. One, mm-hmm. two, three, four. Four.
Yeah.
Four right. I'll give you four right.
Yeah, that works.
Three out of the six. It's enough for the points. all right, and now your last, your base stat question. If you get this right without the hint, you will get all 7 points. If not, you can get it for six with the hint. All
right. Right.
And your base stat question comes from the Once and Future Gamer. Which not fully evolved grass type has the highest base speed?
Ooh. Well, Grovyle is probably pretty speedy, but it's a starter, and they never go too overboard with the starters.
It still could be fast. Grovyle is up there. Cottonee is probably up there. Because Cottonee and Whimsicott are just speed.
So, I know Whimsicott's speed, but I don't know Cottonee's.
Yeah. Grovyle was a good one. Let's see who else. It could be the middle stage of Sprigatito. Blanking on it.
Floragato?
Yeah, it could be that.
Yeah, Meow's Corrada is faster than Whimsicott.
Just trying to think of all the fast
right
grasses.
Up there.
Which, surprisingly, there's not a ton of fast grasses.
Is Meowscarada faster than Sceptile? Okay.
I think by 3 points. Sceptile is 120, okay. Meowscarada is 123. Okay. I'll give you that as a fun little...
Then Whimsicott's probably 121 then?
No, Whimsicott is 116.
116, so it is just a hair slower. So yeah, it's Florgato.
That one I know.
Yes. Okay. So it's probably not Cotton.
No, I don't think Cotton is that fast.
It's not any of those. I don't think it's any other starters.
No, they're not usually that fast.
It's not the Blossom.
I can't think of any... No. I can't think of any other super speedy grass types, because, like, say, the Buzzsprout line is not slow, but it's definitely not as fast as, like, Grovyle or Floragato, so...
Do you want to use your hint?
We should, probably. What do you think, Shark?
Either we take the 50-50 or just use the hint. I'm good either way.
If it's a 50-50 and we haven't forgotten something.
True.
So
we'll take the hint. We'll just go ahead.
Your hint. This is a Hisuian Pokemon.
Hisuian Voltorb.
Yeah,
is that your final answer?
That's the yes. Oh wow. Yep. Wow.
See? We forgot
that. That was
something.
A good hint.
Yep. I was like, how do I tell them that it's Voltorb without saying it's Voltorb? Like, this yes. is arguably the best little cup Mon in, you know, standard.
It's a dual electric. It's a dual
grass.
Type. Mm-mm. That's electric.
Yes. So you Voltorb, Hisuian Voltorb is the highest with 100. Followed next is Grovyle with 95, and then Servine with 83.
Oh my gosh, I forgot Servine. Yeah, that's fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So with that, you guys get 6 points. Let me update these standings. And that changes things up. All right, so in first place, we have Seth Violet with 25 points. In second place, we have Shark Finnegan with 20. In third, we have Whimsicott, now a 17.
Mm-hmm.
We have a three-way tie for fourth with Mark, Linian, and Sublime with 14. We have a three, potentially four-way, if I get my points count for y'all's points, for what would be next after that with R-Sigma, Jushiro, and Shamu with 12. And we have Basket to yet to get on the board. All right, then we'll catch you guys over with the topic.
Are you addicted to cardboard like myself and Seth? Maybe you want to pick up a booster box of Obsidian Flames next week. Well, the best way to do it is to support the show by going to trollandtoad.com and using code PucklePod5 at checkout. Whenever you do so, we get a small kickback, and we really appreciate the support. So make sure, if you're buying anything, whether it's Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh!, you can head on over to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout. Get a 5% kickback for using the code and supporting the show. We appreciate everything you guys do, and we will catch you on the flip-flop.
All right, and we are back with our topic. Today's topic is just general DLC hype and Oddish?
Yes, and Oddish.
And Oddish.
let's start there, because that's the thing that's most bizarre, is the fact that the Pokemon company has been pushing Oddish like crazy recently. I mean, you have Pokemon Path to the Peak that they had a 4-episode miniseries of, which, you know, featured Oddish. You have this Discover Pokemon altogether, an Oddish tale. And then you have Oddish behind the Pokedex. And then they just announced it for Pokemon Go Day next week. I think it's the 17th, you said. It's Oddish Research Day. Like, there is so much Oddish, and yet it's still not confirmed to be in Gen 9.
It's very strange. I love Oddish. I would very much like to know that it's coming back, but...
See, I have a little crochet Oddish on my desk that I absolutely love.
Oh my goodness, I love that.
One of my computer pals, as I call them. All my little friends that sit there and watch me play. But Oddish was the very first one I ever got. So, holds a special place in my heart. And I love the fact that he's getting all of this love and affection because he's wonderful and I miss him.
Oddish is literally one of my favorite Pokemon. It is confirmed to come back in the Indigo disc, but it might just be that in the trailers, we've only seen it for the Indigo disc, and it's actually coming back for the Teal Mask as well. Because at this point, if they've been hyping it up this much and it is not coming back, I'm going to be a little sad if I have to wait another, like, 3 months to see my little baby plant again.
Well, that's the thing is, Pokemon likes to hype up a Pokemon and then do nothing with it sometimes. Like, especially, granted, it doesn't do that a lot with the starters, where it's, oh, here's this little thing on the starters, and there's a cute little thing with them. Or they'll do it with, like, Togepi or Eevee.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't normally done this title. I mean, they did it with Bidoof as well.
They did it with Bidoof. They did it with Slowpoke. But those are all Pokemon that have, like, meme culture status in a way.
Yeah, Oddish is probably the first one they've done it where it's just not, like, super hard meme-y with it. But, I mean, it's still, like, if you look at all the things that they've done with Oddish, it is very similar to the Bidoof that you're talking about. What, they have a Go event. They're having TCG card made specifically for it, which in this case being the promo they used in that. They've made animation on it. So, like, they're kind of hyping it up a little bit. And they, you know, the Twitter account goes crazy. Like, it was funny, just like, it was Thursday and my phone literally right at lunchtime, there's this like notification, 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 notification. And I'm looking and I see Pokemon tweeted. I just saw D and a picture of an Oddish card. And I was like, what? And it was like, literally, it literally just was six tweets that was just spelled Oddish. Just O, wow. D, with just different cards leading up to the promo one that they did from Path to the Peak.
I guess it might be just, you know, a promo for Path to the Peak.
It is a promo from Path to the Peak.
No, I mean the entire Oddish thing.
I guess that's an option. It's just... Like, the way it seems is, like, there's somebody at Game Freak that just loves Oddish that finally got the go-ahead to push Oddish.
I mean, there had to be some reason they put it, like, made it the focal point of the Path to Peak in generally, even that still. But yeah, I kind of like it. I like that they're hyping up some older Pokemon like that, so.
Well, I'm just curious, what are they going to do with it? Because usually that means they're going to do something with it, you know, like, with the game. Because they finished Path to the Peak, and then they started pushing all this extra Oddish content as well. So I'm like, this feels like it all needs to, like, cultivate to something. I just don't know what.
I'm honestly not sure. Like, I think if, like, if any of the DLCs were about wow us with a third possible Oddish evolution, we would have seen it in the promo. Because Oddish is a Gen 1 Pokemon. It's beloved. It's not one of the most popular, but it would, like... A new evolution for a Gen 1 Pokemon would have a lot of traction. Like, remember how we got the Galarian Slowpoke hype? And, like, we got a lot about that. So, I don't think it's anything like that, because simply they would have put it in the trailers.
Yeah, I think so. I think they would have, or we would have gotten it sooner. Like, you know, we got Wigglet ahead of time this recently, you know. We just got the Sinistee, or the Poltchigeist.
I love that little guy.
Pop up recently. Like, I would imagine they're gonna, like, if they were gonna do something, they would, you know, it would be, if, at least for Teal Mask, it would have happened by now, for sure.
That's very true.
It's like, if you have, like, 4 new Pokemon, and that's just it, you have 4 new Pokemon, you put them in the trailer.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that we did not see from the trailers for Sword and Shield DLC were the horses, right?
Yes, we did not see that.
You're right. Yeah, no, we did not. I remember the, it was like rumored, and I think it was like, when the leaks broke, it was like literally like the day before that we found out about the horses, and we're just like...
I know that I don't look at leaks, and I went in without knowing the horses existed.
Yeah, no, they were very last minute too. That was absolutely last minute.
I still just can't get behind the idea that, oh, Pokemon's gonna push this Pokemon and like give a lot of hype for it and not have it be in their main game. In any way, shape, and form. At least with the other ones, it's always been like, oh, we're going to hype Eevee after Pokemon, you know, let's go Pokemon, Pikachu, and Eevee. And that's when a lot of the Eevee hype came around. Granted, Eevee's been in all the games. I think Bidoof was in the last game, too.
No, it was not.
No, but we had Hisui and BDSP about to come out, I think.
Yeah, it was in those games, though, and you could still get it. but you can't get Oddish in the new games, at least not yet. Speaking of that, though, let's talk about, you know, some of these returning Pokemon that we have.
Ooh, yes.
So what we have confirmed for the Teal Mask, and I'll start with all the returning ones, so I'll see if I can just rapid fire through this list. We have the Ekans line, the Clefable line, Vulpix line, the Poliwag line, the Snorlax line. My boy Furret is coming back.
Furret, yes!
Mm-hmm.
Noctowl, Ariados, Apom, Yanma, Gliscor, that's a big one, Mamoswine, Mydianna, Shiftree, Crawdaunt, Dusclops, Chimecho, Milotic, Conkeldurr, Chandelure, Mandibuzz, Trevenant, Vikavolt, Komo, and Cramorant. That's all that's been confirmed to come back so far. There are obviously a lot more, I think, coming back. Plus, we have all the new Pokemon that are coming out as well, such as Monkeydory, Oggidoggi, Pheasantipity, Ogerpon, Diplin, and Poltchageist. So, give me your thoughts on all of this.
So, first of all, I love Diplin. Like, it's just cute. And when I found out that it's two little guys in there just piloting the apple together, it's just too cute. I love that. But I like Poltchageist too, like as a concept. The design is nice also. It looks like a fun guy. Not excited about the typing, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
I have to admit, there are a couple of guys in the returning Pokemon list that I'm like super excited to see again. Like Furret, Milotic, Chandelure, and just, ooh, Ninetales too. It's just, I honestly, there are Pokemon that I miss at this point, and I would really, really like to see them again.
No, I understand entirely. Like, from a competitive aspect, I'm thinking, all right, Komo-o with Terra Blast sounds insane.
I love Komo-o generally, and I'm excited for it to come back.
That sounds really, really strong. Chandelure seems like a lot of fun. Milotic will be a good wall. Mamoswine and Gliscor, I'm really excited about, just because Gliscor hasn't been around for a little while, right? It wasn't around last gen either.
Yeah, no, it was not. It didn't get any of the cool new moves. I'm curious what moves it'll get.
Exactly. So there's a bunch of stuff with that. I love seeing the Poliwag line. I love the Poliwag line. Munchlax is here. Munch. I'm not excited for Clefable.
Would be more excited for Clefable if I hadn't been able to hang out with it in Hisui. So I don't miss Clefable as much.
And I think they're still pulling off some of that... They're pulling off some good Clefairy stuff coming out soon, too. They've already announced that they're going to, for their first, like, big mass outbreak event that they're doing with this DLC release, that Clefairy is going to be around that Harvest Moon. They're actually doing, apparently, they're doing a big Harvest Moon push at the end of the month, so expect a lot of Clefairies coming out.
That's great. And then, what are your thoughts on the new Pokemon? We have the monkey, or like the, what's it, the trio? Let's start with the trio.
I don't like them.
It's gonna take a second to get used to design wise because they're just so different. I hope that the lore behind them is as good as they're trying to hype it up to be. And I'm curious of how they end up being. I like a good poison type. I'm excited for more good poison types. So
yeah, poison's my favorite type, and I don't think we have a legendary poison outside of. I mean, we like Naginadel and.
Eternatus are the two that scream.
I guess Nidalee, Eternatus, and Nihiligo are the kind of pseudo-legendary-esque, but there's two Ultra Beasts and Eternatus, which is just broken. I would love a good, just like, generic poison type that's good, and...
Something with the defensive prowess, like, you know, like Alolan Muk, you know, something in that realm is what I would love to see, because...
Mm-hmm.
Poison type is usually, it's just kind of a big boom-bust recently, so I'd like something, like, in that upper echelon of, like, really good.
Well, it's weird because it has the weakness to ground, but also resists fairy. So it's like very much in this middle ground of like, okay, it's not as bad as it used to be before Gen 6, but it's still not the best. So I'm curious what they do with it because we don't have the types for any of those three mons yet. We're guessing that they're poison something. I mean, they are colored water, the colored blue, green, and red. So you could assume it's those types of colors, but there's thoughts that may not believe that. That's just they're colored that way. They're not actually those types.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And then what do you think about Ogerpon? Because we don't know anything about it, really.
So my guess is that under the little mask, there's a really cute guy. And I'm hoping I'm right.
That I would. I bet you're probably right there. I feel like it's just going to be a little guy.
Yeah. Like, look at those paws. They look like Riolu's paws. Like, it has to be cute.
I guess my question is, do you think, like, since you think underneath, do you think the mask will come off?
I'm wondering if, like, because in the trailers you see a bunch of masks. I'm curious if that is the only mask.
Ooh.
I'm curious about it.
That would be interesting.
But I mean, it does look like it is the focal mask of this, but and it has a special, like, Terra form looking thing that, like, that mask gets really big. I'm curious if that one just has different, if there are different masks or not for it.
One of the things, though, I am most hyped about with this DLC is changing my outfit. I can get out of the school clothes.
Finally.
Yeah, I mean, not... Okay, so I'm not a huge fan of the new outfit that you get. I still wish they would give us more actual outfits. But yeah, since I am, like, I have Scarlet, and I don't like the color orange, so getting a new color to wear will be great.
Granted, I do like the Indigo Disc outfits that they have shown with the characters, and I'm just waiting for that, because I like those a lot more than I like the other ones.
That's better. Yes. Yeah. That's better.
That's fair. I don't know. I want more clothes choice, but we'll see what we actually, how, if I like the new ones enough or not.
I think it's like, so this first DLC has such a specific vibe, mm-hmm. which is Japanese summer festival vibe. And it's like, it's cool, but it's an event, you know? So mm-hmm. it's not like an aesthetic that you might want to forever. So I don't know.
I think there's a lot more to it that we don't know. I think they've done a good job of hiding it, because I think, I don't know, I want to believe that it's going to change, like, throughout the day.
Mm.
So, like, when it's during the day, and it's not, or, like, when it's daytime in the game, it's going to be, like, a normal, just, like, you know, village type thing. But at night, it's going to become this festival. So I think there's going to be more time-based events. And I say time-based, like, in-game time-based events, because their time is different than our time, I think, slightly. So I think that's going to be something that'll be interesting, just going off of what I'm seeing in the pictures. That and with Isle of Armor, we got a bunch of other fun things. Do you think we're going to get a Diglett search quest in this?
So, you mentioned before we started recording that there seems possibly to be a quest regarding the photograph app.
I think Shark mentioned that.
Yeah, I would seems like you, yeah, I was saying that, yeah, if we know for sure we got some, like, it says we can go on mission to, like, take seek out a mysterious Pokemon and take photos.
Exactly. Like, I was thinking that would be a cool way of revealing a new Pokemon. Like, if this character who looks like Adamant, whose name right now escapes me, is sending you to take pictures of... You take pictures of a Pikachu, you take pictures of a Growlithe, and then the very last spot that she sends you has something you've never seen before. That would be cool.
Yeah, I can see them doing something. All right, cool. You're in charge of photographing this festival type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that too.
But there's a lot to this that I said we don't know that I want to know more about. Going over to my list of things. Shark, what is this Mochi minigame?
That's one that they've announced that there's the Ogre Ousting is special event where you ride on your Koridon, Miraidon, collect berries by popping balloons and bring the berries to these berry tables, and you get Mochi that you're supposed to be able to help get you reset your IV or your EVs and be able to raise them pretty easily. So that is a good way to help get your Mons ready for battling.
Ooh, because I believe in Isle of Armor, they added with the whole battle thing, they added a whole bunch of ways to make it easier to IV and EV train.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to add this time? Because we already have the person that'll max your IVs. You can change your Terra type. What more are they missing? Are you missing at this point?
Depending on how you have to interpret the wording about the Mochi, it might be that Rusted Bullockup that has been searching for.
Yeah, that's what we're really looking for, is that the zero IV.
So being able to drop something down.
That's the real thing we're missing. I know this should hopefully just at least, this for sure, at minimum, this minigame should help just get you, like, all the
EV raising stuff and just a nice reset your base stats pretty easily. Like, because, I mean, that's just something that I've had to spend a lot of my money on is, you know, getting mons ready for raids. It's like, okay, I need max attack, max HP, you know, bulk up my Pokemon kind of thing. It'd be nice to, I mean, this should hopefully make it a little easier to get those things.
Okay.
Serebii does say that it seems to be referring to Eevees and not Ivies.
Still, there's always a chance that there's something they're not saying yet, and maybe something in DLC too if it's not here. It's really, it's that's the only thing we're missing. Oh, and more ways to get Terra Shards.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be nice, yes. Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, like, you find the berries running around in Scarlet and Violet, but I don't think you can purchase Eevee-reducing berries.
Ooh, Eevee-reducing berries. That's interesting.
Yeah, so maybe that's what the Mochi does. Like, it gives you a chance to finesse the Eevees of your Pokemon without having to randomly hunt for shiny spots on the ground for hours.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there, because, yeah, you just might incidentally, as you're, like, you can actually reset your playthrough mon that you got, you know, random Eevees as you just did the battling and whatnot. It would be nice to have it reset pretty easily that way.
Yeah, 100%. And then the other thing on my little list for us to talk about is the, apparently, in the Famitsu Japan article, they mentioned that there's going to be the return of the Isle of Armor tutor moves.
Which, that'll be exciting. We get Grassy Glide, Burning Jealousy.
So let me look at that, because I want to see what the tutor moves are and see what's big here that would have an impact.
VGC, it's Rillaboom, Grassy Glide, because Rillaboom still has pretty high usage, and then getting its Grassy Glide back.
Well, if we're, aren't we getting Coco? Tapu Koko?
We have not seen Tapu Koko in anything yet.
Never mind, because I know Rising Voltage is coming back. Expanding Force is coming back. Those are the two big ones where it's like, in VGC, if we get the Tapus back, that's gonna change the format entirely.
And DD will be useful to get the Expanding Force. That'll be at least something that you might see, because DD always comes and flows.
And DD does a good job against Flutterman, being normal type. So that might be something that comes out. Scale Shot. Can you imagine Baxcalibur with Scale Shot? Like Swords Dance Scale Shot?
Yeah, that would be scary. It'd be much easier to pop off a little bit more there.
Meteor Beam is another fun one that's always exciting to have some shenanigans with. Burning Jealousy might have a play. I'm just trying to think. Poltergeist. Now that is a good move that might change things. Think of all the ghost types that we got. And as I think of it, I can't think of any ghost types we got.
Well, Cerulege is a physical ghost type.
Yeah, Cerulege could take advantage of it.
Cerulege with Poltergeist. Wow. That sounds despicable.
Dragapult, if it gets to learn it, is going to be strong. I don't think it will, but it...
I hope not.
It didn't before. I don't think it will this time, but it could. The fact that it could is a threat.
Yeah. The other couple, I mean, giving more things flip turn is always good. Triple Axel is just a great coverage move.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
When it hits...
Granted, a lot of things got Ice Spinner, though, so that doesn't really matter as much. Dual Wing Beats, always useful. And then Scorching Sands.
Yeah, but you have all these, like, multiple hit moves, which, you know, they play a little differently.
Yeah, but Dual Wing Beat on a Dragonite is still good. It just gives it more coverage versus Wing Attack.
Essentially allows it to run Terra Norma without having to use Terra Flame, Terra Blast.
That's very true.
Which is still good. And then Scorching Sands is just coverage. But, like, that's interesting. And I hope they bring back more than just this list, or add in some new ones. Because I'd love to see them be like, oh, we're going to modify this list slightly and give you a couple of other, you know, move tutor moves.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I'd love to see, like, Toxic come back. Or, like, granted, I say that. Toxic may be too good.
Toxic knockoff pursuit.
Scald. Yeah, let's get all the competitive moves that are awful and bring them all back at once.
Scald. Yes, Scald.
No. I'd like to see Signal Beam come back.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of random coverage on Pokemon that made them slightly more viable. Or I'd love to see, you know, different moves and evolutions and whatnot. And I think there's still more that we don't know that I'm just, it's getting me more excited. Because I feel like they've teased a bunch of stuff and we're just like, all right, we're on the verge of this being really, really, I'm missing something else to push it over the edge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm just picturing, you know, Indeedee, Terra Psychic, expanding force in terrain.
Mm.
That just sounds disgusting.
Yes, it does. Thank goodness the dark type exists.
Yeah.
But it's like Rillaboom's going to take over. I think Rillaboom's going to take over VGC. If they ever bring back Infernape. Or sorry, Infernape. Incineroar. Incineroar will take over. Maybe. Probably.
Mm.
That'll be next year.
I was going to say, I hope they don't. But then I remembered, no, wait, all the starters are confirmed. And that includes Incineroar.
Yep. All of them are confirmed.
No.
All right, any other thoughts on the DLC or things you're excited about? We'll know everything in a matter of days. But.
Literally, I'm just so, like, perplexed by the fact that it's coming out on Tuesday/Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird, but yeah.
And I'm excited to see what fun things they do with these new returning mons and such. Like, I know the Pokedex have been fun before. I'm curious to see what they do with the new mons in there.
All right. Then with that, we will head on over to our Poke of the Episode.
Poke of the Episode.
And we are back with our Pokemon of the Episode, number 986, Brute Bonnet.
It's Pokemon Violet. Pokedex entry says, it bears a slight resemblance to a Pokemon described in a dubious magazine as a cross between a dinosaur and a mushroom.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. A cross between a dinosaur and a mushroom.
I mean, it's got a tail. Mushrooms don't have tails.
Dinosaurs do.
That's why it's a cross between a dinosaur and a mushroom. Perfect. Brute Bonnets always interest me because they've introduced a lot of grass dark types and it just doesn't feel as exciting as the other ones.
Mm.
It's no Wochen, it's no Zarude. It's better than Cacturne, but still.
I mean, this thing is hard.
It does. And it has a surprisingly strong attack stat for what it is.
It's got good bulk too. It's 111 HP, 127 attack, 99 defense, 79 spattack, 99 spadef, and 55 speed. So it's got that good, like, almost 100s in its defense stats. So it can tank a hit or two. To be able to then spam off a big stuff. It's got Sucker Punch, so it can make up for speed if it wants to.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, with that, we have a VGC team. This team hit rank 5. Is it by Pearl?
That's what it looks. That's what we have here.
I don't know if it's VGC, though.
It's Stadium Singles.
It's BSS.
Oh, sorry. It is BSS. My mistake. And this is Regulation D for singles. We start with a Brute Bonnet. With Leftovers, Prosynthesis, Terra type Water, 52 HP EVs, 204 attack, 252 speed, Jolly, with Spore, Substitute, Trailblaze, and Crunch. That's fun. And then with that, we have a Rocky Helmet Qian Pao. That's something I never thought I'd hear myself say before, but
yeah,
Rocky
same.
Helmet Qian Pao. With Terra Fairy, with 252 HP, 68 attack, 180 defense, 4 special defense, 4 speed, with a Jolly Nature, with Icicle Crash, Terra Blast, Sheer Cold, and Recover.
It's a defensive Qian Pao?
I didn't know Qian Pao got Recover.
Yeah, no, it's got a really weirdly strong move pool. Hold on, I gotta process this for a second. I'm just, like, looking at it. What is this? So you go Terra Fairy with it most of the time. Is this going to be the Monuterra? 80-80 isn't awful defensively. That's so... Maybe you do it against other Qian Pao?
There must be a reason for it, and I wish we had, like, a breakdown of what each thing does, but that's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Sheer Cold has to be against, like, the big bulk, like, Tinglu or something. That makes sense. That
probably.
I can see for sure. Just because
this is odd. I like it. All right.
Yeah. Very strange. Speaking of Tinglu, we have a Tinglu. with a covered cloak. The ability is obviously Vessel of Ruin. The terror type is poison. The EVs, which I guess we're doing this week, are 196 HP, 52 attack, 116 defense, 76 special defense, and 68 speed with an impish nature. And it's running Earthquake, Ruination, Taunt, and Whirlwind, which is super fun, honestly. Like, this guy's gonna gnaw you to death.
Oh, yeah.
And then, to round out the trio of Treasures of Ruin, we have my very favorite one, Chiyu. It's running a Choice Scarf with the ability Beads of Ruin, of course. Its Terra type is Ghost, because you don't want to get hit by those fighting type moves. Its EVs are max speed, max special attack, and 4 HP with a timid nature. And its moveset is Overheat, Dark Pulse, Lava Plume, and Psychic. That Lava Plume is interesting.
Yeah, it's good to get some burns on, just to kind of give it... Just to burn off against other Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, you're probably going to click Overheat most of the time as this is the cleaner. This is going to nuke something and then maybe switch out. But hopefully it's just like click an Overheat, win the game, move on. But yeah, and now we've got a plenty of dark types on this team. Let's put in some ghosts. So let's start with the best one, Fluttermane, with the booster energy. Terror type water, 200 defense, 36 attack, 252 speed, timid nature, with Moonblast, Shadow Ball, Thunder Wave, and Calm Mind. So it's kind of a little bulkier one. The Protosynthesis will trigger speed, so it's basically pseudo scarf. So that'll be a good, nice kind of middle game mon type thing. Get the T-Weave off. And then this is a really kind of disgusting Basque Legion, just looking at what it's trying to do here.
Yes.
It is, it's, you know, standard adamant Basque Legion, max attack, max speed, for just throw in 4 and Spadef. It's got adaptability, so it can be able to get its good attacks off. It's got Wave Crash, Last Respects, Aqua Jet, standard moves. It's got substitute, so okay, you might be able to, like, catch someone switching out or, you know, tearing or a little early or something. You might be able to do that. But it's holding Bright Powder.
Yep.
Oh, no.
It's holding Bright Powder. So it's like, not only just trying to sub up on you just to be able to maybe catch a switch. It's subbing on you just so that it gets, so that you miss your attack and then be able to start breaking you with Wave Crash and Last Respects.
Yeah, it's like every single Pokemon on this team has something to annoy you.
Every mon does. You've got Spore Sub, you know, boosting your speed, Brute Bonnet. You've got Sheer Cold,
Taunt Whirlwind, Lava Plume, Thunder Wave, and then this Bright Power substitute thing. Like, what the heck is going on?
Someone is having too much good. Fun.
Yeah. And I don't like it.
Yep.
But hey, I mean, if it got rank 5, it must be decent.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. And with that, we will head on over to our mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
Alright, and we are back with our mailbag. As always, the mailbag is sponsored by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
Fictional hooves.
Yes. What was the question from last week? Does anyone remember?
Yeah, modern trends in Pokemon.
So we have two emails coming in this week. Shark, why don't you start us off?
Alright, this one comes from Tia. What it do, Puckle Crew? Tia here. Pokemon, as a franchise that has stayed at top since the late 90s to early 2020s, I feel it is a very impressive feat that not a lot of media accomplish, and they do this without recycling or creating live-action versions of already existing stories. Originally, I was going to talk about regional variants, but I think it would be better if I talked about how much more of a lifestyle Pokemon is becoming and how easy and fast it is to consume Pokemon content. Back when me and most of the hosts were in our heyday, There was really only the anime and games where we needed a link cable to play with each other. Now, Pokemon is something that the whole family enjoys, with parents even letting their kids choose their starter Pokemon. We can see products that encourage a Poke lifestyle in the Pokemon Center, with the kitchenware, holiday products, and clothes. They even have official Pokemon-themed wedding rings in Japan. Moreover, you can even make Pokemon part of your walking/exercising and sleeping routine. On to the negative. I do think bipedal Pokemon design can be a good topic for a future episode. Past bipedal Pokemon, even starters like Sceptile, Blaziken, Feraligatr, and even Charizard and Blastoise, all stand on 2 feet, yet still feel very animalistic. Others like Cinderace, Inteleon, and in my opinion, Hypno, feel like they hired someone to wear a sports mascot costume. One day, we're going to get a Chuck E. Cheese-inspired regional form of Raticate.
Oh, please no.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
Freddy Fazbear or Sylring, let's go.
Oh, gosh.
Stay trendy, everyone. Tia.
So I'm terrified by that, and I haven't even seen a Chuck E. Cheese from the distance.
Aw, lucky you. It's only gotten worse.
Yeah.
You know Five Nights at Freddy's, right?
No, I don't watch horror.
Oh, you haven't just heard of that? Like, okay. But, yeah. I guess it'd be the okay, I guess like sport mascots and like,
So I know what a Chuck E. Cheese is, and I've seen, the mascot on TV. What I was trying to say is I have no, direct Chuck E. Cheese related trauma, and I still think that's horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lucky you.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Whimsicott, take us with the next one.
Yes, we have... This one is from Sully. What the shackle, people at Puckle? As for modern trends in Pokemon, my opinions are focused around the mainline games, with an emphasis on competitive and Pokemon Go. That's all I really play and follow. Super fair. Mainline first. Very happy with Scarlet and Violet when it comes to new Pokemon. The fun region and the gameplay generally was awesome. Obviously, the frame rate and crashing wasn't fantastic, but I hope the trend in the opposite direction on that part. But looking forward to the DLCs, and I'm liking the way things are developing. Adding Legends Arceus to the mix with the other mainline games was awesome, and I hope that is a trend and not a one-off experience. Yes, please, I would really like it. And I'm sure we all feel the same way about BDSP! 10 out of 10! Amazing game! I still play it all the time! Sarcasm. For Pokemon, the year started off rough with the remote raids news, but I've still found myself genuinely enjoying it. I'm hoping to see new features. I guess this is Pokemon Go. I'm hoping to see new features and mechanics continue to be added. The recent ones have been solid, so I wouldn't complain about more in the future. Planning on sticking with Pokemon for a while longer, going on 20 plus years already, especially if it keeps trending in the ways it has recently. Solid. Yes. Yes to all of this, essentially.
I was trying to figure out the other day which game I played more of between BDSP and Let's Go, because I played both the initial playthrough and then never touched it.
I think I played a tiny bit more Let's Go because I tried to shiny hunt for a while.
I got the Oddish Mastery, and that was about it.
Fair.
But all right, which do you feel deserves the Green Tauros badge, if any?
I want to say maybe Tia, but I don't remember if...
Neither of them have it right now. Both of them could deserve it, so...
Yeah.
Then I would say Tia.
All right.
Okay.
Let's give it to Tia. Congratulations, you have received the Green Tauros badge. Remember to ask somebody in the Discord for it, and we'll give it to you. Yeah. All right. And with that, thank you everyone for listening in to the Puckle Podcast this week. Remember, you can find us on all of our socials at Puckle Podcast or The Puckle Podcast. We are on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I know we stream on Twitch occasionally. Please check out the Discord link and join us in the Discord. We always have fun events going on. I know that coming up soon, there will be more news on Puckle Factory, everyone's favorite tournament of the year, and many, many more things to come. We are here to have a good time, and we want you all to join us in with it. And with that, I have been Claude9.
I have been the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And I've been Shark Finnegan.
And we'll catch you on the flip-flop.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.